I'm sure you've heard the statement, live life to the fullest. If it feels good, do it. Or I want to make lots and lots of money so that when I retire, I can live a pretty satisfied life. Or I wish I could hunt, play video games, go to Cedar Point or some other hobby for the rest of my life. I'm sure you've heard phrases like these or others, but what do they all have in common? Most of these things that I've mentioned are not bad at all, but what is their purpose? All of these things and actions that people want to associate with bring them some sort of fulfillment, thrill, and satisfaction. So I want to ask you the question, who here wants to have a satisfying and fulfilling life? The answer, obviously, for all of us is yes, I want that. But the reason why I ask this question is because I believe it is the ultimate question that most, if not all people make it their goal to achieve throughout their life. It is a personal question for me that I have, in a sense, really tried to answer almost my entire life. And I believe it is a question that this generation of millennials is asking themselves whether they truly understand it or not. Whether it is Hollywood actors, billionaires, or people like you and me, the question for mankind is, how does one have an abundant life? God wants you to have an abundant life. So I'm going to take us to a passage of Scripture where it talks about two ways of life and how we as human beings have a choice. So if you please turn your Bibles to John chapter 10 and verses 7 through 10. Verse 7 says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. In this chapter, we have a sheepfold, a door, thieves and robbers, a gatekeeper, sheep, and a shepherd. The background and overview of this chapter is that Jesus is in a conversation with some Pharisees who had just thrown a man out of the temple for being healed by Jesus. Jesus was trying to explain a truth to them through a figurative picture that they all should have been familiar with. The first person identified is Jesus Christ. And in verse 7, he says, I am the door. In verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. And then in verse 10, Christ has also come with a specific purpose. And it says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. From this passage in John 10, we see two directions, two ways, two paths for one to travel. The first six verses paint a picture, and verses 7 through 10 state why Christ came to this earth. There are two paths of life. One is God's way, and the other way is the way of the thieves and robbers. The first way is the way of the thieves and robbers. It says in verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. So who are thieves and robbers? Thieves and robbers is anyone who takes what does not belong to them. The only difference is that a robber takes it in public and by force, and a thief does it in secret and by deception. This word thief is specifically used to describe the Pharisees in the previous chapter. Those that are false teachers live and act the same way as Satan, which results in stealing, killing, and destroying other people and themselves. This is the worship of oneself. So why did the thieves and robbers come? Look at verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Everyone has a purpose for living, and Satan is the father of liars, John 8:44, and he is the great thief, the great robber. And it is all thieves and robbers look to Satan as their example. So what is Satan's purpose? Satan's strategy is a lot like a conveyor belt in a factory. Satan's conveyor belt of success promises to take you to the factory of life by doing things your way and worshiping yourself. Seemingly everyone is telling you, this is the way to go. You know, just step right on. It's great. It feels good. And when you first get on, it's kind of appeals to your flesh and your natural desires for comfort, ease, the praise of men, wealth, lots of stuff, power, control of what you want to do, and temporary satisfaction. However, as time progresses, the devil and your way of life slowly destroys you by bits and pieces. It is a conveyor belt that takes you through a factory that, instead of building you up and making you into something, tears you apart piece by piece until you're at the end and are tossed into the garbage dump of death. I could give you a boatload of stories, illustrations, and testimonies, and I'm sure you could too, of people that have chosen the way of the thieves and robbers and have chosen the lie of the devil. Just for an example, you can look at the life of Robin Williams. As we all know, he's a very famous comedian and actor who, when I would see him in the movie screen, was a very happy and satisfied man. He had a very great smile. But a year and a half ago, he committed suicide, and I realized it was a very different story. He was a man who was discouraged and depressed, and who had actually tried to take his life several times before. He is honored by the world and is one who chose to stay on Satan's conveyor belt of success. Satan pulled him apart piece by piece, first through his addictions, then he took his happiness, then his finances, and lastly, his life. My question to you is, do you want to live the life that he chose? Satan is a deceiver. Satan is subtle. He is a thief. On December 11th of this year, CNN did a news report on Satanism. I'm not going to read to you the entire article, but here are a few things you might not know about Satanism. Quote, most Satanists aren't devil worshippers. Surprisingly, most card-carrying Satanists do not worship Satan or any other form of the devil. They are actually atheists. The Church of Satan, founded in the mid-1960s, explains it this way on its website. Satan to us is a symbol of pride, liberty, and individualism, and it serves as an external metaphorical projection of our highest personal potential. We do not believe in Satan as a being or person. The Church of Satan puts the individual at the center of the universe, what High Priest Peter Gilmore describes as going from an atheist, the belief in no gods, to an I-theist, the belief in oneself. The chief focus of all Satanists is I-theism, the worship of oneself. Is this not the temptation of us all? If we are not serving God and being selfless, then we are doing the opposite and being selfish. It is all about us. So this is the way of the thieves and robbers. What is the other way? The other way is the way of the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord is Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 7, then said Jesus. So Jesus is speaking. And when he said, I'm the door in verse 7, I am come in verse 10, and I'm the good shepherd in verse 11, he is speaking in reference to himself. Jesus Christ is speaking in reference to himself. So why did he come? Look at verse 10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So what is life? Life is the opposite of death. The thief steals and brings killing and destruction. His path is lacking and only brings temporary satisfaction. Jesus Christ brings the opposite and came to bring life, eternal life, for all those who trust in him as their Savior. Man cannot save himself and is destined, because he is a sinner, for eternal separation from God in hell. Christ not only provided life, but he provided abundant life. It says in verse 10, and that they might have it more abundantly. The word abundantly means to have abundance. Abundance means eat plenty, an overflowing quantity, ample sufficiency. This does not mean that all Christians will be wealthy and have lots of money, but the Bible makes it very clear that Christ provides a way of life that is totally fulfilling. It is abundant, overflowing quantity, that which has the purpose of making life happy. The life of the Christian yielded to the Lord is a life of inward joy and contentment. Now, this is not for political endorsement, but I'm sure there are several of you in here that have been watching the presidential race for the nomination in 2016. And I haven't been keeping track of all of them, but several of them I have. And earlier this past spring, Ted Cruz did a speech at Liberty University. I don't remember the whole speech, but I do remember him talking about his father, Rafael Cruz. Rafael Cruz was born and raised in Cuba, and he left Cuba under the dictatorship of Fidel Castro because he didn't see any future. And he came to the United States, got a job, got married, started having kids. And when Ted Cruz was 5 years old, both his parents were working very demanding full-time jobs. There was a lot of drinking and a lot of fights. The fights got worse, and Rafael Cruz decided that he had enough and that he was going to get in the plane, fly to Texas, and file for divorce. Rafael Cruz got in a plane, flew to Texas, left his wife and family in New England, and started working. He ended up meeting a Christian who led him to the Lord. After he accepted Christ as his Savior, not too long afterward, he got in a plane, flew back to New England, and restored their relationship with his wife and children. This is an example of the abundant life. Rafael Cruz was on Satan's conveyor belt of destruction. And even though at times he had temporary satisfaction, Satan was pulling him apart piece by piece. First through his marriage, then his family, and then his job. Today, Rafael Cruz is still married to his wife and is a pastor. And Ted Cruz and his wife are members of a Baptist church. Why is this important? This is important because we as human beings have the ability to choose one of two paths. We are all looking for the ultimate question of how to have an abundant life. We can choose our own way, the way of I-theism, the worship of oneself and what we want to do, or we can choose the way of the God. Jesus Christ has come so that we may have life, not death, and not destruction. We not only have the opportunity of life, but with the life of Christ, we can have it abundantly, a life of inward joy and contentment. So let me ask you, are you living the abundant life, the way of the Lord? Are you satisfied? Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? If you have not placed your trust in Jesus Christ, then you need to trust in Christ today. And you can talk to Pastor Odell, myself, any of the other pastors, and I would do it as soon as possible. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, then what do you do? If you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm 37:4. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God wants you to do two things. The first thing that he wants you to do is that he wants you to delight in him. The word delight means tender toward, soft and pliable. If we are tender and soft toward the Lord, then he will change our desires to godly desires. The second thing that God wants you to do is he wants you to desire him. The word desire means to lust after or to crave. Now, lust and crave don't sound like very godly terms, but if you're we are all created to desire things. The problem is that we're descendants of Adam and Eve, and we're all sinners. So we end up desiring, we end up satisfying our desires through sinful ways. And so God says, delight in me, and then I will change your desires so that you end up desiring the right things. And so how do you delight in God? Well, if you delight in something, you spend time with it. You think about it. You learn and know it. If you delight in hunting, you spend time in hunting. You think about it more than just one day out of the year. And if you delight in hunting, you know how to hunt. So if you want to delight in God, you spend time with God. You think about him, and you learn and know him. Some ways you can do this is by having a clear conscience, reading God's word, talking to him, having it not be about you, by memorizing and meditating on scripture. So lastly, if you delight in God, then you will desire God, and then you will live the abundant life. So this is the message for you and for me, and this is the message that I want to send as a testimony to those in the UK. The message is, do you want to have a successful and fulfilling life? If you want to, the answer is that Christ offers us life, eternal life, but also a life that has abundance. This, I can say, is worth living for, and this is worth sharing.